Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this evening. And grateful for the opportunity to be back at Stable Men. And certainly enjoyed my time here last year. And I considered it a great and an extreme honor when Brother Padgett invited me to come back this year and try to fix the mess I made last year. He said I got a big job. But I'm really, really grateful and glad and honored to be here. If you will, just be seated for a moment and thank God for His hand of protection today, keeping me safe. And I'm sure my dad and my uncle appreciate God helping them get here safely today. And Brother Ward was—he's at one point he was following me here today. He said, "I got to get off this phone, Brother James. Brother Townley's about to get me killed here, trying to keep up with him." But we made it, and we thank the Lord for it, and we're glad to be here. And I am just anticipating what God is going to do in these services. I feel a wonderful touch of the presence of the Lord. I feel the power of God. I feel the peace of God. I feel the strength of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in the presence of the Lord tonight? Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm just looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord from my friends. And looking forward to Brother Kevin Archer's preaching tomorrow. And Pastor Wade Bass preaching tomorrow. And Brother Weeks preaching on Saturday. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to speak to me and how He's going to help me. And I just know God is going to do a great, great work. And Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's not the only shadow that's cast on us sometimes. The psalmist said also in Psalms 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So sometimes there's a dark shadow that's cast upon us also. But I'm glad in the times that the dark shadow comes upon us, there is another shadow. There is another covering of glory. There's a covering of strength. Shadow for shadow, the glory of the Lord is greater. And I feel that settling of the glory of the Lord in this place tonight. Would you just stand one more time? Lift your hands and just thank God for His covering, His anointing. Manifestation of glory we already feel and sense in this place tonight. The purpose of God that's already evident in this meeting. Hallelujah. God, we love You. God, we praise You. We exalt You. Hallelujah. Oh, I love You, God. I love You, God. I love You, God. I love You, God. I magnify You, Lord. I magnify You, Lord. I magnify You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6 is where I will be reading tonight. Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll read one familiar verse of Scripture, and that is verse 16. I want to say it's good to see all of my ministering brethren here tonight. This group of men in this fellowship, I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. Your embrace of me, your acceptance of me, giving me the greatest honors that can be given to any man, minister of the gospel, preacher, youth camps, and meetings. Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate your friendship and your kindness. And I think I'm on schedule for tomorrow. I think so. I'm just making sure. I'll say more later. But God bless you and thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I know that you have traveled today. And short is sweet. Short is sweet. And it just don't always get everything done that needs to get done. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I don't even like to finish this scripture. They said, we will not walk therein. But for tonight, I just want to give you the charge of the Lord. Stand ye in the ways. See and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. We'll leave off the last part because we have a decision to make. And I'm glad I'm gathered with a group of people, a group of men, that says it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. One more time, would you seek with me God's favor and glory upon the preaching of the word? Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. God, I need you more than anything. I'm helpless without you. I'm dependent upon you. God, you are here. I feel your unction. I feel your anointing. I feel the glory and the power of your presence, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Satisfy every longing, God. Satisfy every longing. God, you know the hungers, the desires, the needs, the thirst. It's in the souls of these men. Believe you to supply the needs, God. I feel grace sufficient in this house tonight. Do it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said with me, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a simple message tonight entitled, The Monuments Men. The Monuments Men. The scripture says, stand ye in the ways. Where paths cross. In a moment of decision. When you stand in the ways, you can go left or right. He said, see and ask for the old paths. The well-trodden. That which has been around for a while. That which is familiar to many. In which there is a testimony that's established. See and ask for the old paths. Our inquiry should not be for a new way. To fit the need of the new day. But he said, your requests should be, do this. Stand in the ways. See and ask for the old paths. Hallelujah. And if we'll ask for the old paths, he will give us sight and understanding and revelation. There will be witnesses and testimonies. When we desire direction, we can be confident that direction will come. Direction of the right way, of the sure way, of the decisions that we should make, the path that we should follow. He will order our steps as we seek it. What we should do with our families. What we should do with our own individual lives. Direction for our churches and our ministry. Old paths. Old paths. That's what I want, Lord. What's been tried, tested, found true, and proven. I want the old paths, Lord. See and ask for the old paths. Hallelujah. I could almost get on a total another message here tonight. But and we're touching it right now in an indirect way. But let me just go ahead and say, amen. I believe the hunger that needs to be in the heart of the young generation of ministry and in the heart of the saints of our congregations is not for the pastor to come up with a new way and a new plan and a new idea. I think we need a revival of old paths. We need a fresh revelation and understanding and establishment of old time apostolic doctrine. I like that old time preaching, teaching, singing, shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like the feel of the familiar. Holiness, righteousness, glory, and strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. See and ask for the old paths. Where is? Let them say what they want to say. Let the suggestions be presented. But the old way is the good way. And walk therein. Do it. Follow it. Commit yourself to it. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Take the book and study. Study the Scriptures. Learn the principles that made men successful in the natural and in the spiritual. See and ask for the old paths. How did David conduct himself? How did the prophet Samuel handle himself and his relationship with God? Study the apostles. The paths which they trod. Consider the end of their life and their conversation. And commit yourself to those principles. See and ask for the old paths. Wherein is a good way. Walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. There's three things I'm going to preach about tonight. I'm going to mention them and then I'm going to step back and lay a little more foundation, if that's okay. I want to preach tonight about family. Number two, I want to preach about our personal relationship with God. And number three, I want to preach about the workings of the Holy Ghost within a congregation. Now, that's a lot of preaching within itself, but we're going to try to sum it up here tonight. That is treasures and monuments that I believe the Lord wills for us to preserve in this generation. And maybe I'll just lay a foundation and some of you men will build upon it and finish it in this meeting and fix it. But I picked up a book some time back and it's entitled The Monuments Men. And the Monuments Men were a group of people from 13 different nations. Most of them were volunteers. They were volunteers in a new service. It was a newly created monuments, fine arts, and archives section. It had the letters MFAA, Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives. And these were people who committed themselves in World War II to save as much of the culture of Europe as they could during the time of battle and war. During the time of combat, they became aware and familiar that there were things that were possessed and held in museums by people who were private owners, that it was essential and they saw it necessary to find what had been stolen, to keep that which had not been taken away, and even that which may have been damaged, to keep it from enduring greater damage and destruction. These were a group of people who volunteered or was chosen to keep the culture of the past alive, to save it, to preserve it, to keep it as essential and significant, not just of the past, but in the present, so that it could also serve to inspire and help future generations. And most of these people that volunteered had different expertise in different areas. They were museum directors. They were curators. They were art scholars. Some of them were educators and artists themselves. Some of them were architectures. Others were archivists. That had skill and training and jobs in the past as being archivists. And so these people bound themselves together and were commissioned by the Allied forces to go forth into combat, into battle with soldiers. They went without weapons. They were there volunteers, serving, saying, there's things that we've held and had for many years that we've got to keep a hold of. Things that were brought into being. People worked and labored and sacrificed and gave their best effort and best energy and best mind to give us. And we want to preserve it and we want to keep it for future generations. I know you already know where I'm going with this message tonight. And what I simply want to say again is that there are treasures just like the sculptures of Europe, just like the paintings and the manuscripts and the different buildings and edifices that these men worked to preserve. There are treasures that are significant to our past. They're significant to our past. And they play an important role in our foundation and culture as the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hitler, as a young man, had dreamed as a boy of being an artist or an architect. I didn't know that. I had heard that at one point he was interested in becoming a priest. But in this book, it establishes that as a young man, he had a dream and a desire to become an artist and an architect. And so much so that he enrolled or he gave an application to the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna. And to his disappointment, they rejected him. And another thing that I found significant about the fact that he gave an application to the Academy of Fine Arts of Vienna to be accepted to become an artist and go into that field, one part of the resentment that he had toward the Jews was the fact that he believed that it was Jews that made up the board, the committee that rejected him from being accepted into the Academy of Fine Arts. You know, it's absolutely amazing the things that can begin so small and so young in our lives that if we don't bring it into check can become bitterness and make us very destructive as adults. And so his dream was crushed. And as his life would unfold and he would become the Führer, and he would gain power and authority, and he would become what I would call a raging maniac and a tool of destruction and evil. He not only was seeking to build an empire, not only was he seeking Not only was he seeking to overcome people and destroy the Jews and develop a supreme race, he was a man that was interested in building his own little city. His adopted hometown of Linz, he wanted to take that city and he wanted to turn it into a little Italy. And he would make his own Führer Museum. And so not only was he killing Jews, not only was he destroying buildings, people's lives, families, he was also at work stealing art, taking the paintings. He would give commands and to his subordinates, and it's documented in this book, to acquire all the art and to establish the Führer's Museum and all of the art that they could. Michelangelo and on and on and on. The list could go. Get all of the things that would enable me to build a city to my honor. To the art that I could not acquire in a good way. He was going to steal it. He was going to take it. Was going to rob. I want to tell you, there's art in the church of the living God. There's art. You know, you don't just have a family by happenstance. A good family. A righteous family. A godly family. A family that believes the truth and understands the truth. It just don't happen. It just don't come into being just but without effort, energy, deliberate decisions. Somebody recognizing, hey, this is vital and important. Something that I would call a treasure and a monument to be valued and appreciated. We understand that this world that we're living in today is a world that is dangerous. And many families are being destroyed. Family's a rare commodity, a good family, a strong family, a family that's intact. You're helping me, but let me just stretch out here a little bit. Help me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Families that pray together. Families that love one another. Fathers that spend time with their children. Pray with their children. Where children don't wonder if daddy's ever going to pray with them, but daddy prays with them beside the bed at night. Now I'm going to tell you, I believe there's an art to developing a godly family, a righteous family, a holy. Thank God for every man that brings their children to church, but it takes more than just bringing your children to church. That's a good part. It's essential. It's necessary. But it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of giving on a father's part to have a good, strong, holy, apostolic, godly family. I believe there's men that believe that families are important in this place. And God wants to strengthen your commitment to your family right here on this first night. I want to lay a foundation for the family here tonight. It's a treasure and it's a monument to value and appreciate. And we need to be reminded tonight that there is an active force in this world that's out to destroy our family. The valuable treasure that God has given to us. And He wants to challenge you tonight to commit yourself in a new and a fresh way to being a family man. A family man. A family man. A family man. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, you're going to have to strive to be faithful to your spouse in this generation. You're going to have to be committed to righteousness. You're going to have to know how to shun the seducer. You're going to have to know how, amen, to resist the approaches and the advances. It's not just men chasing women in this generation. But I'm telling you, there are some evil ladies in this generation that have no respect for a man nor his family. There's nothing more that the devil would like to do than to rob you of your righteousness. Amen. Your testimony. Your relationship with your spouse. Can I just get plain and preach tonight? I'll leave pretty preaching to later. I just got to get loose here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a lady that values you and loves you, then she will leave you alone. If she loves you, she won't be trying to separate you from your wife. If she really cared for you, she'd not be trying to pull you out of the home with your children. And if you really loved your wife, and if you really loved your children, you wouldn't be playing with text messages. You wouldn't be going to places you shouldn't go. You know what we'll do? When we're family men, we'll gird up the loins of our mind. We'll guard our mind. We'll protect our mind. We'll follow the precepts of the Word of God to think on that which is pure, true, just, and holy. God, I got a treasure and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to pray about my family. I'm going to intercede for my children. I'm going to be a good godly leader for them. I want a family and I got to invest to have it. Hallelujah. 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 Can I just say, your children need you more to be with them more than just at church. Your children need to have fun with you. They need daddy when the pressure's off. They need daddy laughing. They need daddy having a good time. They need daddy spending time with them, giving them undivided attention. I know what it's like to have demands and pressures and not have enough time to go fishing. Not have enough time to read. I don't feel like I even do God justice sometimes. It's hard to balance our life in this generation. We're going to have to let God remind us over and over again of what's valuable, what's important, and what's treasures that we must keep. We're living in a battlefield, brother. We're living in spiritual hostility. There is powers of darkness that are continually active, working. Children that your children spend time with. School, teachers, colleges. I'm telling you, there's powers that's constantly at work trying to destroy your family. It's going to take attentive men. Men that are observant, that are priests of their home, that are watching over. A while back, I felt like the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me. And I began to teach in our assembly. And I said, you know what? You want a praying pastor. You want an anointed pastor. You want a pastor that keeps his eye open. You want me to cry aloud and spare not. You want me to let you know when I see evil and sin and wickedness come in. I said, the attitude that you want me to assume as a pastor to keep our church clean and pure and holy and godly and righteous is the same attitude you ought to possess as a dad concerning your home. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll show up at home before it shows up at church. And if we'll have some observant men that's committed to God's principles, that have courage, that don't wait for the man of God to deal with it, but say, hey, this is what I believe, and it's important to me, and I'm going to take my place as a man to establish a godly family. Hallelujah. 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 Is this too hard or is this all right tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. How in the world can I overemphasize the importance of the family tonight as a value treasure? It's not just good for you. It's good for your children. And it's not just good for you to have a good family, to be able to say, I have a good family and it's going to give my children a better future. But I'm going to tell you, it's great for the church for you to be a family man. One thing I've prayed through the years is said, God, I want to be a preacher, a pastor that's not just in position and out of touch. I want to be in position and in touch with you. And I want to be in touch with the needs of the people. I don't want to just be able to say, I'm a pastor. And that be the sum of it. I want to be in touch with you. I want to be in tune with what you're wanting to do in this assembly. And I want to be working in the lives of the people, allowing your anointing to move and flow and work. Can I tell you, I don't want to just be a father in my home in title. I want to be active in fathering my children and being a good husband to my wife. I don't want to just be passionate about me being the husband when I'm ready to take my authority over my wife. I don't want to just be passionate about me being daddy when I'm ready to just discipline my children and be angry about them. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a need for us to be positive. Positive. Spend quality time with our children. If you don't, somebody will. If you don't talk to them about what needs to be talked about, somebody will. Somebody will. Somebody will. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn the art of being a family man. My wife has a canvas on the wall. When you walk in the door of our home, it says, our story starts at home. It all starts with family. That's where the story starts. I said last night, my dad and my uncle was in church with me and Jennings. I said last night that I was grateful to God that my parents allowed God to bring them out of the world and into the church when I was just a young child. I was 2 to 3 years old when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things I don't have in my life that people have in their life that I'm glad I don't have. A lot of pain and hurt and regret and heartache and sin and shame. I don't have it because I had good, godly parents. There's a lot of regrets that I don't have because I had parents that was committed to building an apostolic family. And there's a lot of things I have in my life tonight that are good things. That it's not virtues that I've acquired since I've become an adult. It's not something that I had to battle with and struggle with and overcome and gain because I didn't have good parents. It's just virtues that are in my life because my parents raised me to be this way. My parents raised me to be involved in the church. My parents raised me. They didn't just tell me this. They brought me to work day. And they worked. And they didn't just say, I'll make sure my children are there. They brought me to work on work days. And to worship when it was worship time. They brought me when they were teaching Bible studies and winning people to the Lord. They brought me. They involved me in it. They taught me faithfulness to the house of the Lord. These are things that I didn't have to acquire on my own. I see it just as a part of living for God. When church time comes around, you're there. It's never a question. You never have to ask mom and dad. When the doors are open, you're there. I'm stretching out tonight, Reverend. These are things that I have because my dad and my mother was committed to building an apostolic, godly family. There's one particular story I want to relate to you under this portion of the message called Family, the Art of Developing a Family, a Godly Family. Put it in a little bit clearer light. The monuments men's duties was number one, to record the condition of monuments after battles. They had to do an assessment. Number two, they had to supervise the emergency repair work if it was needed. Then number three, they had to ensure that no further damage occurred. Assess the damage, supervise the emergency repair work, and then ensure that no further damage occurred. There's a chapter in this book called Winning Respect, the early stages of the MFAA. And they said one constant, one thing that you could always count on being destroyed, at least in portion, was the churches. While it was inerrant and natural for the Allied forces to respect sacred sites, churches, cathedrals, it wasn't that way for the Germans. Germans were irreverent, disrespectful of these sacred and holy places. What they would oftentimes do is put German snipers in the towers of the churches or the cathedrals, knowing that the Allied forces wanted to do no harm, further destruction to cathedrals, churches. They would put the snipers there. And regretfully, there was times that the Allied forces had to destroy some of the towers and even a portion of the churches. And in this particular time, there was a certain chateau that had a private chapel. This story that I'm going to tell you is there was a man by the name of Roymer, and he walked onto a site in which there was a bulldozer that was about to push down a wall. And he yelled, "Stop the bulldozer!" And the startled engineer stopped, and he had just spent the past few days pushing down as many walls and knocking them down as he could around the chateau. But now he was near the chapel. And this monuments man said, "Stop the bulldozer. This is an historic house." And he held up his list of protected monuments. And he said, "This is to not be destroyed." And so it was that the captain was approached and the commanding officer and said, "There's a man that's trying to keep us from pushing this wall down. Everything has been almost totally destroyed with this chateau and this private chapel. There's just a little bit of some wall standing, and this is only one wall left that's largely intact. And he's trying to stop this bulldozer from just pushing this wall over." So the commanding officer come over. He said, "What's the trouble?" And not only did he say, "What's the trouble?" He looked down condescendingly at the second lieutenant and said, "What's the trouble, second lieutenant?" And he knew and understood that they had no authority. The monuments men had no authority. He had ultimate authority over the monuments men to decide what would happen on the battlefield that day, whether the wall would stand. But the monuments men were in an advisory position. And so Roymer said, "This is an historic monument, and it's to not be damaged." And the captain looked back at the wall. He said, "You know, the flyboys, the bombers, should have thought about that before they dropped the bombs. All we have left here is this wall." He said, "But this is private property. It must be respected." The captain, commanding officer, said, "We have a war to win. We're just going to leave this wall, and we're here, we got a war to win, and we're here discussing this last wall that you want to leave standing." So the commanding officer just decided, he just angry started walking away. Roymer said, "I've photographed this wall, and I've established an official report on it." So the officer stopped as he was walking away and turned around as if to say, "Who do you think you are?" Roymer just held out a copy of Eisenhower's proclamation concerning the monuments of war that said, "Only in the event of necessity, sir, by supreme commander's orders, is this to be destroyed." He said, "If you want to spend the rest of your days, the rest of your tour, explaining why the demolition of this monument was necessary and essential and not a military convenience, it's up to you." They said he looked at Roymer, the monuments man, as if he knew he looked like a soldier, but to him he was acting like a fool. But finally he just said, "Okay." Just grumbled, walked off, and told the bulldozer, "Pull away from the wall." My mother passed away this year, back in May. And just a few years prior, her brother Stephen passed away. My mother was the only one that ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name, and served God in her family. She served God faithfully for many, many, many years. My mother prayed a many prayer for her brother Stephen. And he died as he was driving down the road in a rage, resulting from anger and a mix of alcohol and drugs. My mother asked her pastor, Brother Jeff Phillips, to preach the funeral. Brother Phillips went to the pulpit. He said, I'm going to preach an unusual message today. He said, but this is what I really believe God has given to me. And he began to read the text and tell the story about a lady whose name was Rizpah that had sons that was handed over to the Gibeonites because of the sins of Israel. Told the story how that although her sons were hung, their life was taken, she stood out there. She began to fight the night creatures, keep the beasts and the animals away, the birds of the air. And this is what he preached that day. Fight for what's left. Fight for what's left. You may look at your family. You see a lot of holes in the wall. You got a lot of regrets. A lot of things you could have done differently. You may look at your family and the best that you could see is maybe just a wall standing. And the bulldozer's ready to push it over. Before you came to this meeting, you may have felt like giving up. Throwing in the towel. You're tired of dealing with your children's attitude. Cut the tape off. No, I'm joking. You're tired of dealing with your whatever wife. You just felt like throwing it out. Quit. Let the bulldozer go! I'm telling you tonight, fight for what's left. Fight for what's left. Because you can rebuild some walls. You may not have been able to get what you desire and cause your family to be or become what you will up to this point. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Why don't you shout out to the bulldozer tonight? Stop. Hallelujah. Amen. If doubt and unbelief has wanted you to just give up and throw in the towel and throw your dream away concerning your family, why don't you just get a hold of your dream and your holy desire and your godly ambition to build an apostolic family? Go pray again. Have the family altar again. Talk to your children one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It takes work, work, work. It's an art. Be not weary in well-doing. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. Worth fighting for. Would you just talk to God with me right now about your family? Have you prayed for your family today? Have you prayed for your family today? Hallelujah. 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 God, you're going to help me. God, if there's anything you'll help me do, you'll help me with my relationship with my wife. You'll help me to build it. You'll help me to grow it. You'll help me to overcome, God, the trouble we've had. You see the broken down walls. You see the charred remains. You see the burnt edges, oh God. You can help us. You can help us. You can help us, God. I've been fighting weariness. I've been fighting discouragement, oh Lord God. Would you give me renewed vision, God? Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me the ability to develop the art of building a godly family for you? Hallelujah. 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 God, revive families. Why don't you reach over and pray with somebody right now in the name of Jesus. God, I want you to revive families. Let the spirit of revival, God, in this meeting, Lord, come into the hearts of these men. God, you're rekindling the fire, the vision right now. But I'm believing, God, even throughout this whole meeting, you're going to, God, give the strength, the word, the revelation, the understanding that's necessary and essential. Oh, God. Yes, you are. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I'm telling you, I believe some of you are seeing some powers and some forces at work that's trying to tear down some walls in your home. Why don't you speak it in the Spirit tonight? Stop! Stop! I can't let it continue! I can't let these thoughts, I can't let these feelings continue in my heart. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Lord, the greatest thing that we can have is a personal relationship with God. David sinned and sinned greatly. And in his deep prayer of repentance, he said, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I want to fellowship with you, Lord. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want this holy communion, Lord. The touch I feel on my soul right now, Lord. It's more precious than what money can buy. It's more valuable than what work can give me. I want to walk with you, Jesus. Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you I could never, no, never make heaven my home. You found me when I was so lonely. You remember it? You found me when I was so blue. You found me when I was discouraged, and I did not know just what to do. Let me walk with you, Jesus. No job promotion is better than that. No illicit relationships better than that. Nothing compares. The anger and the resentment, the bitterness you feel is not a greater possession. Pray it out. Pray it through. Get it out of your spirit. Let forgiveness in. Let forgiveness in. Maintain that free, open relationship with God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I don't know what you need to pray through, but whatever you need to pray through it in this meeting. I don't know what you've been up against. I don't know what's been up against you in the past weeks, in the past month. But I'm telling you, you may have prayed, but keep on praying. I believe God's going to give you a release. I feel a release right now. I feel a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And I believe right now, as you yield to the Holy Ghost, there is an anointing and a wave of glory. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I believe you to release hearts, release minds, release spirits. Break chains, God. Let the oppressed go free. Loose the minds of these men. Loose the hearts of these men. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, men, let's work in the Holy Ghost. This is what I expected. I expected the Holy Ghost to move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, your touch means more than anything to me. Your touch means more than everything to me. I want your anointing. I want your hand on me. I want your divine favor in my life. I want glory. I want glory. Hallelujah. The move of the Holy Ghost, the operations of the Spirit, the powers of the presence of God, it's going to be understood. It's going to be familiar to me. Our church is going to know how to operate in the Holy Ghost because of a deep personal relationship with you. Come on, I'm telling you, there's power being given right now. I feel an anointing. I feel power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, I feel power. There's power in prayer right now. There's power to persevere in prayer right now. There's power to overcome in prayer right now. There's power to tread on serpents right now. There's power over every work of the enemy. You can gain it. You can receive it right now in the spirit of prayer. Said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm here to remind you tonight, by the anointing of the Lord, by the anointing of the Lord, hallelujah, you can climb over a wall. You can run through a troop. Hallelujah. By the anointing of the Lord and the power of the Spirit tonight, you can overcome every adversity. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.